rest these days. I hope you're getting some rest these days, sleeping at night. One man said, man, I'm sleeping like a baby. Well, you know how a baby sleeps. Baby wets the bed, and the baby wakes up crying, all right? I don't know if you're sleeping like a baby or not, but somebody's well said that life is one mad dash between diapers and depends. And they said, where are you at? I said, it all depends, all right? Hey, look, if you live long enough, you're going to go through various stages of life. But anyway, I want to share with you what the Lord's got on my heart today as I've been praying this week. How bright is your light? How bright is your light? And I remember as a boy wanting not to get up out of the bed when I first started school. I mean, it was cold outside. You know how them covers snuggle up close to you and it's hard to turn them covers loose. I remember living in a home that didn't have heat in my particular room, and it seemed like the heater was about 100 yards away. It wasn't quite that far, but wake up in the morning, ice cold and no insulation and that sort of thing, and just make you want to stay in the bed where it's nice and warm. But I said that to say this. I remember going to school, when I first started to school, sometimes I'd want to rest in a little bit, and I'll never forget my dad would come downstairs. He'd flip the light on and say, time to get up. Time to get up. And I want to tell you something. I believe right now are good times to get up. In fact, Paul put it this way. Knowing the time, it is high time to wake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If ever there was a time we needed to wake up in America, it's now. And I believe God wants a lot of people in churches today to wake up. It's time to wake up. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, wake up. It's time to wake up. Wake up in a sleepy world. It's time to light up a world that's in pitch black darkness. It's time to stand up in a world that's falling down. Yes, it's time to look up in a world that's looking down. Oh, yes, it's high time. How bright is your light? By the way, you know when the Lord comes back again. We don't know when that'll be, but we know it'll be sometime soon. It could be today. I don't know. The Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ can arise first. Those of us that are alive and remain caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Somebody put it this way. We're going to hear the toot, and then we're all going to scoot. Amen. We're going to hear the toot, and then we're going to scoot. The angel's going to sound the trumpet. And I want to tell you something. Listen, after that happens, you know what's going to happen? We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You and I will have to give an account to the one that was crucified, buried, rose again. You and I will stand before this mighty God who was born in a manger, who lived a life without sin, who died on the cross, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, paid our debt in full, and conquered the grave, and ascended into high, and said, one day I'm coming again. We will stand before him. And by the way, either we'll be rewarded or we'll suffer loss. Those who are saved, mind you, not everybody, and everybody here today is not a Christian. You're not a believer, and that's the greatest need you've got today, is to come to experience the forgiveness of your sin and understand the grace of God, the love of Calvary, that you might pass from death unto life. But look, here's the deal. Do you know when we get to glory, there's going to be degrees of rewards in heaven? You very seldom ever hear this talked about, but a couple of weeks ago we talked about the judgment seat of Christ. And therefore, I want to know, how bright is your light going to shine at the judgment seat of Christ? Are you going to be rewarded? Or are you going to be worthless? You remember we looked at that study, whether it be good or bad. Well, I got to thinking about that, and I said, Lord, how could I illustrate this point? How bright is your light? How bright is your light? Is it a bright light? And even now, right this moment, how bright is your light? I'm telling you, we're living in a dark world right now. And certainly, people need to see the Lord in you, and they need to see the Lord in me. Well, the light of the gospel is the glory of the Lord, and therefore, how bright is your light? How bright is your light? I've got not a real bright light, but it's a bright light nonetheless. And I've got another light that I want to illustrate. How bright is your, are you going to be a 25-watt bulb up in heaven? Hey, look, there's brother so-and-so. There, sister, your light's not shining very bright. I'm telling you, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. Some of you sitting there, where are you getting that from? They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. Are you going to be a bright light? And even now, living in this world, are you going to be a bright light in this dark world? I mean, what kind of light are you portraying even now? What kind of light are you portraying now? Are you a 150-watt bulb? Do people see Jesus in you? Are you maybe say, well, you know, I'm not really a bright Christian. How bright is your light? How bright is your light? This is one of those little night lights. It don't put out very much light. I mean, in fact, if I turn this light on right here, you know what will happen? Even this little bitty old bulb right here, you know what will happen? This light right here, I'll tell you what will happen. It'll put out that light. That light right there, it'll put that light out in a minute. But you see, how bright is your light? Is it just barely glowing? I know far too many Christians, their light is flickering, ready to go out. And far many Christians, too many, you've been depressed, you've been discouraged, you've not been letting the light shine. What's going on? Tap into the power source. You notice I had to plug this in the power source. And some of us today need to get plugged into the power source. There's nothing wrong with Jesus. He said, I'm the light of the world. And he said, you are the light of the world. Remember when he said that? He said that over in Matthew chapter 5. He said, ye are the light of the world. Say that with me. Ye are the light of the world. Say that one more time. Ye are the light of the world. Now, he said he was the light, but he said you are the light. So how bright is your light? How bright is your light? We just reflect the light, of course, as the moon does the sun. But I want to preach today for just a few moments on the subject, how bright is your light? Is it shining? Can other people see your light? Well, I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 2 is a very familiar passage. I won't read the whole text because you're very familiar with it. Luke chapter 2, how bright is your light? And here's where we're going in the message today. There are two parts to the message. How bright is your light? Two parts to the message. Number one, I want to address this question, how bright is your light? And number two, will you get right and turn on your light and get in the fight? Some of you need to turn your light on. You know, it's easy to let things turn our light off. How bright is your light? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, I just want to read a couple of verses, namely verses 8 and 9. I'll summarize for the sake of time. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And, you know, Mary and Joseph left Nazareth and went to a city, the city of David, called Bethlehem. So we come to chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, and I want to read verse number 8 and verse 9. Verse 8 and 9 of Luke chapter 2, if you like to stand, do so right now. And they were in the fields, they were in the same country, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. Verse 9, Luke 2, verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward man. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. And the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And then notice, verse 19, Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. And verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Again, look back in verse 9. Lo, the angel. The Lord gave me this message this week. I knew I'd seen this before, but how bright is your light? Verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord. That word glory is doxa. It means the manifested presence of God. It means the light of God, the glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Father, I thank you for our good time together. Oh, Lord, I want to redeem the time. You said redeem the time, the days are evil. I bless you for every person that's here. Lord, they could be anywhere else, but they come hungry. And I pray, precious Holy Spirit, you'll feed us from the table that the Lord has set from the Master's hands. And we just worship you now and give you glory. I pray, Father, you'll challenge us about our light. Lord, you've surely been speaking in my heart about how bright is my light. I want it to turn it up a little brighter, Lord. I want you to have full sway and full surrender of my heart. Oh, God, teach me to come under your lordship. I pray for every person here and those especially, Lord, that aren't forgiven of their sins today and have no home in heaven, that today you can change their heart and bring joy and peace and hope and everlasting life into their heart. Those of us, Lord, that are bought with your own blood, that God, you'd plug us into the sweet power source of the Holy Ghost of God and give us grace to lay aside every hindrance and every weight and everything that would keep us from running the race and our eyes on you. Thank you now what you're going to do. Thank you now for being so good to us. Thank you now for changing my heart. And Lord, I'm a debtor. I owe you my very life. And those that are here, Father God, that you've saved them by your marvelous grace and through your precious redeeming blood, we are debtors. We're not our own, you said. We're bought with a price. Help us to glorify you, Lord, each and every day, every moment, and change us, we pray. Thank you now for breakthroughs this day. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. How bright is your light? How bright is your light? Here's where we're going to the message. Y'all got to listen very carefully and quickly today. Two parts. Number one, how bright is your light on a dark night? It's certainly a dark night in the land of America. It's certainly I read just the other day where more and more young people are committing suicide. More and more older people are committing suicide. Why? They've given up hope. They have no direction. They have no focus on their God's purpose for their life. And I dare say some of you today, you've been perhaps down and discouraged. I know Christmas time, we can put on a fake smile, and it should be a joyful time of the year. Unfortunately, for some people, it's the saddest time of the year. Perhaps a loved one has gone to meet the Lord. Perhaps you're facing some crisis of something that you're going through physically or spiritually or financially or relationally. Maybe right now you're not really happy in the Lord. What's it going to take to get you happy? I said, what's it going to take to get you happy? Maybe you need to let the light shine. Maybe you need to turn the light on. Maybe you need to see somebody else let their light shine too. How bright is your light on this dark night? Now, I begin to think about the scenery that we have read today, namely from the book of Luke chapter 2. I can imagine in my own mind the shepherds as they're keeping watch over their flock by night. Here they are. And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord shone round and about them. Now, I could almost hear that conversation if it were in the 21st century, December the 16th, 2018. I can hear the conversation, one of the shepherds says as he speaks up. Why in the world do we have to keep these stupid, stinking, smelly sheep? I'm tired of doing this work. Why can't I get another job? All we're doing is sitting out here and those stupid sheep taking care of them. All he's doing is complaining. Maybe there's somebody in you that is so easy to get caught up in that mainstream of whining instead of shining. Oh, yes, how bright is your life? Have you found yourself complaining? Have you found yourself bickering and bellyaching and whining instead of shining? I believe there's a crowd here today that all of us are prone to be complainers, chronic whiners. I mean, the slightest little thing can go wrong and we want to whine about it. We want to blame it. I'm right in the same crowd, and that's why I want to tell you something. That shepherd that's probably whining, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You have not had an attitude of gratitude. Well, how in the world can I get out of this rut of having a negative attitude? I want to tell you something. Some of us are living defeated lives because we're speaking negative things. We're thinking negative things. We're speaking negative things. And I want to tell you something. Oh, I don't want to be around negative people. I don't want to be around somebody that's negative and whining all the time and complaining. In fact, some of us today need to get things right with God. You need to get right so you can turn on your light and then you can get in the fight. Some of you are not in the fight because you've been complaining all the time. Whining about this, whining about this. Hey, life is full of troubles. Paul said, we're troubled on every side, yet not in distress. Perplexed, but not in despair. Now tell me the truth. How many of you have been complaining about this? Well, my family, they're just getting on and all of this and all of this. Hey, we can't control everything that's happening around us, but we can control our attitude. And I want to tell you something, brother and sister. Your light is not going to shine as long as you and I are walking around complaining about every little thing instead of thanking God for His goodness. Today, what we need is an old-fashioned revival that God would take us out of this muck and mire of whining and poor pity me, and I'm entitled to this, that, and other, instead of saying, dear God, there's a lost world out there. There's a world that desperately needs to see the light of the glory of God. How many know today there are people in your life that need Jesus and we're walking around with our light hidden? Our light's not shining and people are stumbling around in the darkness. I can hear another shepherd say, you know, I'm tired of this too. It's cold out here. It's raining. It's dreary. It's gloom and doom. Some of you young people, hey, look, if God could so change your life to tell you today that you'll never have influence in others' lives as long as you've got an attitude of ingratitude, as long as you're going to feed that monster flesh and complain about this and complain about that instead of saying, God, you sure been good to me. Lord, I thank you for your blessings. I can hear one of the shepherds say, you know, yeah, I mean, this conditions, yeah, it's been raining. Yes, cold. Yes, raining. Yeah, you know, we get colds and that sort of thing, but I can hear one of them saying, wait a minute, he's sitting over there and he's reading something. What's he reading? He's reading from the Old Testament. I can hear him say, you know, tonight could be the night. I can hear that shepherd say, you know what I've read? I'm reading over here. I'm reading the book of Isaiah. He's talking about somewhere in the future, there's going to be someone to come to call Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And look at this. It says right here, the government of this world is going to be upon his shoulders. Can you imagine? Who is this Messiah? Wait a minute. I see over there he's going to be born of a virgin. And I see over there that he's going to come and he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Tonight could be the night. I'm telling you, if you and I are not, and I can say for myself, I don't know about you, but if I'm not constantly in the Word of God, I'm going to end up being a chronic complainer all the time. And you too. That's why you're complaining. That's why I complain. is because we're not right with God. We hadn't confessed our sins, and we're feeding the flesh, and we want to be entertained all the time instead of getting right with the Lord. And once we get right with the Lord, then the light begins to shine. I'm saying this, I love you. I know I battle this all the time. But wait a minute, there's one that says there's somebody coming, and he could be, it could be the day. I love to be around people that walk in faith, don't you? I love to be around people that walk in faith. And maybe that's what you need to do. You need to say, you know, I'm. Some people complain so much. Somebody said when they get to heaven, they're going to say, oh, the streets are gold, too bright. I can't hardly take it. Oh, look, brother, look, sister, that's the indictment on us today. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. I don't know about you, but I can tell you this. I can tell you this. About 36 years ago, God reached down in the trash can. No, not in the trash can, brother pastor. He reached down under the trash can. Under the trash can. And brought me up out of the trash can and told me he loved me and told me he had a plan for me and gave me purpose for living and purpose for dying. He washed me in his own blood. He put his Holy Spirit in me. He gave me joy unspeakable, full of glory. And he gave me peace that money can't buy and the world can't give. I'm talking about a living God today. I'm talking about Jesus today. I'm not talking about a baby in a manger. I'm talking about the resurrection Lord and the Holy Ghost of God. I'm talking about a real God that the world needs to see. Our light shining so desperately. Oh, is Jesus real to you today? Is he real to you today? If he's not, throw him away. Get rid of him. And some of you, Jesus is dead. You need to get him out of the grave. You've got him locked up in the grave. And the world can't see the light of the glory of God. People told me 36 years ago, he'll last 6 months and he'll be back to the same old, same old. I'm telling you, when Jesus comes in, brother, the devil's got to go out. And if he hadn't come in your life and if you're not changed, you need to change what you got. Because thanks be to God, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Oh, yes. But wait a minute. You say, pastor, in 36 years, I'm not what I ought to be. No, I thank God I'm not what I used to be. But I want to tell you something. There have been times in my life when that all, the Holy Ghost, he gives us all. And there have been times when the devil's poured water on the fire. A fire was lit in my heart. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Am I preaching to the choir today? Well, that's all right. I'll preach to the choir. I'm telling you, if God's not burning in your heart, you need to get right with the Lord. If the Lord isn't absolutely the passion of your soul, you need to quit your religiosity, quit your hypocrisy, and stop being a Pharisee, and come and get really born in the family of God, and get Jesus in your heart, and start shining. Life is way too short to go around nitpicking and fault-finding and being a judgmental Pharisee. The church is full of Pharisees. That's why it's miserable for the average people in church. Nitpicking, fault-finding, not forgiving, not praying, not encouraging, thinking I'm better than them and nobody's going to worship, nobody's going to listen, and nobody's going to do this. I don't care if nobody does it or not. Bless God, you need to do it. And whether anybody else gets right with God, bless God, you need to do it. And you need to do it. Stop looking at everybody else. And by the way, stop making lame, blame excuses for not being right with God. We've gotten so spiritual that we've learned how to camouflage and put on a show instead of, God, I need you. Lord, I've been slipping. Lord, I need my light to shine. Oh, the devil's tried to pour water on it. Yes, he has, but how many know the Holy Ghost of God keeps pouring oil in it? Woo! I said the Holy Ghost of God. When the devil's pouring water in it, he's trying to extinguish that fire. But no wonder Paul said, stir up the gift of God. 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 Say that with me. Stir up the gift of God. Say it again. That's in the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And some of us need to stir up the gift of God. That old flame is flickering. It's about ready to go out. You know it is. You know there's not victory. You know there's not conquering over the world, the flesh and the devil. You know deep down inside there's something missing in my life. I'm telling you, the Lord is saying you need to stir up. And by the way, you know what that word stir up means? It means fan the flames of faith. How many today need God to fan the flames of faith? You've been playing church too long, and God says, you need to fan them flames of faith. Your fire's about to go out. Your light is about to be subsided. And the Holy Ghost of God today is saying, stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God. Let the Holy Spirit fan the fires. Some of us, if God showed up, we'd have a heart attack. We hadn't learned to listen to God. We got to learn to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God has been dealing with me about this thing. You can have your own agenda. You can have your own agenda. You can, and I can, and do our own thing, but leave the power of God out. Your light's not going to shine. I don't care how much you play church. I don't care how much you go to church. Until we get things right, how bright is your light? How bright is your light? Can others see Jesus in you? Oh, yes. Can I tell you this? Instead of looking at each other, we need to start looking at ourselves. You know, we come to church and we've become very good at talking about everybody else instead of me. You know, well, did you hear what they're going through and hear what they're doing? Instead of God saying, it's me standing in need of prayer. And we've gotten good about shucking our responsibility. And we've gotten good about excusing our irresponsibility. We've gotten good about blaming this and that instead of saying, Lord, my light isn't shining. Oh, God, there are people out there that need the light. There are people watching you. I said, there are people that need your light. And if your light's not shining, they're going to stumble in the darkness. And people are stumbling right now. They're stumbling right now. They need a light. That's why I'm urging you and me. There's an urgency about the hour. It's too late after they die. It's too late. Well, I meant to go talk with them. Too late after they blow their brains out. Too late. Well, I wish I'd have talked with them. Too late after they're on their sickbed. Too late then. Lord, I want to shine the light now. I want to shine the light now. Now, look, I love Christmas, too, and I love Thanksgiving, too, but sometimes we get so wrapped up in everything going on, and we just go from one festivity to another festivity, one activity to another activity, and meanwhile, we're spiritually bankrupt, spiritually void, spiritually empty. Well, how bright is your light? Can I tell you this? The Lord has put in every one of us, if you're a Christian, how many of y'all are Christians? Let me see your hand. All right, good. God, watch this, the Lord has deposited into you and to me, what? His Holy Spirit, power. Therefore, we can tap into this light source. Here's the Holy Spirit right here. Here's the Holy Spirit right here. We got to tap in. We got to plug into the power source. We've been trying to do stuff in the flesh. We've been trying to do our own thing. We've been leaving the power of God out of it. We haven't been praying, God, get my heart right. But God says, I'm available. God says, right here, all you got to do is plug in. All you got to do is connect. All you got to do is connect to the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. And by the way, the Lord has called you and me for such a time as this. You believe that? Do you believe there are people around you right now that desperately need to see the light? Can they see the light in you? Oh, yes. Can they see the light? How bright is your light? God has called us. God has anointed us. Yea, God has equipped us. Look, we have everything we need to let our light shine. Amen. Everything. By the way, you and I need to start rising above this negative attitude and this baby spiritual attitude. I'm just going to get just enough. Get to the table and just get a little spoonful. No, get on in. Get in the blessings of God. So many Christians today, they just want to taste it. They just want to get on the outside. They just want a little, just to get by. I'm just going to get enough to get by. I'm going to read my Bible during the week just enough to get by. I might read it, I might not. I'm going to pray enough just to get by. I'm going to come to church just to get by. No, no, no. Our light's not going to shine. But God has called us for times like this to be overcomers. You're not, and I'm not defeated. Rather, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, see, some of you got a bad attitude right now. I can tell by looking on your face. You say, preacher, I don't want somebody telling me that I might need my light shine. I do, and you do too. Because the truth be known, we are desperately needing in our community, in our nation, in our families, for the power of God to invade us, or else we are doomed to spend eternity and our loved ones and our community lost and get more evil, more corrupt, unless we become the light that desperately needs to shine in the darkness. And some of you, now I love you, but I got to tell you this. Some of you, I love you, but I got to tell you this. I need God to check my spirit. Some of you, you're not praying. Every leader in New Rocky Creek Baptist Church, every servant leader, all the Sunday school teachers, all of our men, me, pastor, everybody, we need to be under the burden for the work of God. And some of you are not. You're doing the least you can to get by. Well, no wonder we're not reaching people. No wonder we're not making a big difference. Hey, the church will never rise any higher than you are. It's like a wave that sweeps through the church. You're uncommitted, the whole church, your Sunday school class, everybody, it's going to follow suit. We are to accept the examples. Now, nobody said amen because you don't like what I'm preaching. I'm going to preach it anyway because I love you, and God knows I need to speak the truth in love, right? Amen. I'd rather have some man tell me what I didn't want to hear than somebody flatter me with words that mean nothing. And we're sending a generation to hell. We're sending a generation tickling our ears instead of really getting down to the nitty-gritty and getting right with God. I believe there are people in this county that need to be saved. I believe you can be an instrument in the hand of God. You can be a light to them. What's wrong, my friend? Why aren't you shining? What's the deal? Stop making those excuses. Stop blaming your lifestyle on this and that. Start manning up. I want to talk to all our men for a moment. I love our men. I love our men. I love our men. But you know, as a man, we are to be the spiritual leaders in our home. And some of us men need to step up. Some of us men need to step up. And start, you know, getting our priorities right. No wonder our family is affected. I know there's some things we can't be controlled. But I'm just telling you, God's telling me about my own life. Hey, watch. How bright is your light? Number two. Not only how bright is your light, but number two. By the way, you know I love you. I'll do anything for anybody here. Anytime, anywhere, if I can do it, I can. But I've got to tell you the truth, okay? And that's why the Lord's calling me to speak the truth in love. You know I love you, but watch. And sometimes the truth does hurt. How bright is your light on a dark night? Will you get right and turn on the light? Turn on your light and get in the fight. There's a battle raging right now. How many believe that? There's demon forces all around our homes, our families, the church. And if ever there was a time, God needs some soldiers of the cross taking up the shield of faith, holding up the sword of the Spirit. It's today. God's calling men of God to be men of God and fight the good fight of faith. Amen and amen and amen. Men, God's calling us. Stop being a pansy. Stop being a jellyfish backbone. Start having some guts. Start having some grit. Start being a man. Man up. Step up to the plate and serve the Lord and love God. Amen. I know some of you just rather not clap because you say, who in the world does he think he is telling me this? I love you. I'm serious. I do. I need somebody to tell me, Brother Pastor, you need to man up. Stop being a wimp. Stop complaining. Stop throwing a little pity party. And that's what we're seeing often in the church today. Bunch of nonsense. Whining, gossiping, And you say, Pastor, you know anything happened lately? No, I'm just telling you, revival's the answer, amen. Revival's the answer, right? And by the way, I say this with all respect. Some of you, I might not see you but once a year, and that's Christmas time. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Happy Easter. I know you might not ever come back again, but if the shoe fits, wear it. I'm just throwing the rocks in. If the dog that gets hit hollers, so be it, all right? But look, hey, no wonder. Look, there's a lot at stake here. Your life is at stake. Your future is at stake. Your family is at stake. Doesn't that concern you? Doesn't that motivate? No, I'm just going to get by with what little bit I can. I'm just going to get by with the least I can do. That's the issue. Will you get right and turn on the light? Will you get right and turn on the light and get in the fight? Why? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes, have you ever been riding down the road and noticed a car coming down the road? It's getting dark. It's about dark. You ever run by a car and they didn't have the lights on and it was dark? First thing I want to say is, dummy, you need to turn your lights on. Guess what? One time, somebody's riding down the road, lights are off, and I'm just telling them that because I don't want to see them get hurt, okay? That's my way of saying, you're going to get hurt and you're going to hurt somebody else. They can't see you without your light. Turn the light on. Turn the light on. I saw somebody coming down the road. One time the lights wasn't on. I said, turn your lights on. Turn your lights on. Dummy, turn your lights on. I looked down. My lights were off. It takes a dummy to know a dummy, all right? You've been there too, I'm sure. Turn your light on. Turn your light on. Turn your light on. Turn your light on. I want to tell you something. Your light shining? How bright is your light? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And if you, listen, if you today turn a deaf ear of what I'm trying to share, even though it's inadequate, even though I'm stumbling around, stammering around, I understand that. But if you turn a deaf ear, what God's trying to tell you today, I'm not God, but God the Holy Spirit uses his word. If you turn a deaf ear, stiffen your neck to God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to walk in darkness. I'm just telling you. God says if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That means I'm honest with God. Lord, I want to get in the light. Light doesn't hide. The light brings out everything, blemishes and all. But if I don't want the light, if I'm saying I don't care about the light, I don't want all this stuff, I'm going to live in darkness. Here's our problem. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And here's the problem. God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. Liar. Bunch of liars. Bunch of liars. That's what John's saying. There's a bunch of liars. Bunch of liars thinking they're walking with God and they're not walking with God. That's a big issue today. Oh, my. We talk the talk and say our prayers are with you. Really? I know many of the people in New Rocky Creek are going to pray, but doesn't it kind of perturb you a little bit for people just throw out Christian terms? I'm going to pray for you. Our prayers are with you. Really? Are you really going to pray? Don't say that if you're not going to pray. Don't say it. All it is a hypocritical statement. Our prayers are with you. Well, if you're not going to pray, don't say it. And I'm speaking myself. I don't need to say it, but I'm not going to pray. That's why right there at that moment, I want to pray with somebody right then. Otherwise, I'm going to forget. Let's don't walk in darkness. Now, I know we're at different stages in our life. I understand that. But look, Peter said, you're a chosen generation. The word generation is genos. It means a people. It means an inheritance. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. The word nation is ethnos. It means God called the church. Israel, by and large, rejected the call of God. Consequently, temporarily, the Lord has turned to the church, and the church is now responding. But if you read your Bible, you find out Israel, they'll turn to the Lord one of these days. God's not finished with them yet. A lot of people use this verse right here and say, aha, That's replacement theology. God don't have anything to do anymore with the state of Israel and the church. This is what this is meant for. You need to read the whole text now. He said, you have a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who had called you out of darkness, where? Into his marvelous light. God's called us into the light. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine. Tell me, how bright is your light? How bright is your light? Will you get right? And will you get in the fight? Turn on your light. Don't let anyone dim your light because it's shining in their eyes. A lot of people today, see, if you get right with God, your family and people around you, they're going to say, oh, what's wrong with him? He's a fanatic. He's a holy roller. Now, I'm not saying that you be a Pharisee. I'm saying this. Turn your light on. Turn your light on. How bright is your light? How bright is your light? Let's stand together, can we?